Meeting will now come to order. Mr. Ellis, will you lead us in the pledge?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Mrs. Decker, please call the roll. Call the roll.
Here.
Mr. Bondra.
The website for board book.
Oh, right here.
Mrs. Howard. Mr. Black.
Here.
Strellis.
Here.
Nelson.
Here. Is there anyone present who would like to address the board at this time? We welcome everybody in the audience tonight. Thank you. First set of action items are consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the consent agenda, which includes item 1, human resources personnel report, employment recommendations, administrator and union exempt compensation. Item 2, finance, facilities and operations, treasurer's report, investment schedule, monthly revenue expenditure summary report, summary of bills and payroll, school district payment order, vandalism damage report, disposal of surplus property, and the 2011-2012 FOIA report. Item 3, other matters, the approval of board meeting minutes, June 11, 2012 regular meeting, and the June 11, 2012 regular meeting closed session.
Motion.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mr. Bondra?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Fenwick?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes. The superintendent recommendations. 2012-2013 tentative budget and budget display. The administration is recommending that the board adopt the budget display and hearing resolution to place the 2012-2013 preliminary budget on file and display beginning June 26, 2012 in the Central Services Office, and to establish the budget hearing date as August 13, 2012, 7:15 p.m. at the Central Services Office. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second. Discussion. All right. Thank you. We've been discussing the budget since the beginning of April. We thank everybody for their input and questions, and Mr. Cicerella for his response. Roll call, please.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Fenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondra?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. Superintendent's reports.
I'll be brief, but I wanted to remind board members that I sent an invite for a special board meeting on July 21st, Saturday morning, from 8 a.m. till noon. If you haven't responded, if you could do so, please. That is a really important meeting, and if that one is not going to work, we're going to have to find another time in that time frame within a couple days of it. So is there anyone who has not responded who could give me a verbal response? No.
Who hasn't responded?
I don't know. Four people have responded.
I don't remember. So.
You don't remember if you did? I don't believe you did.
I think that date worked for me. If there were two choices or something.
I only gave you that choice for that at that time.
What day of the week was it?
The Saturday.
Oh, well, Saturday.
Saturday.
Yeah.
So, Steve and John, you think that's... And Sam, I think you replied.
I think you did.
Yeah, you did.
I think I did, too.
It was an invite.
Yeah, it was an email invite.
I responded to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if you haven't, please do so. The other thing I just wanted to draw your attention, if you didn't have a chance today, to read Dave Scarmato's update on construction, mm-hmm. please do so. He will send those along weekly or as something interesting occurs. But as Bob, I'm not going to let Bob talk because he'll get too excited and we might go on forever talking about the big hole in the ground over at Hadley. The vault has been dug, and so they'll be ready to place the tanks or whatever they put in there. They've already started putting those into the ground. So they're trying to beat the heat, as Bob said, and so the underground storage is well underway, and they've really moved post haste on that project. And we are completed with two of our buildings and painting, and they have moved on to
Franklin
about half done there. So we are really moving along, and Mike's technology work has been clipping along at the same pace, and I think it goes without saying that the additional expertise that you've had this summer has been helpful to you in moving at a pace that you've needed. So we are there. As I indicated to you, this has been an extremely busy June, and we still, Karen is, can't keep track of her schedule because she doesn't know which meeting she's going to from one moment to the next, and as evidenced by the pile of contracts to be signed, Lori's been extremely busy as well. Mm-hmm. So it's busy around here, which is good. And that's it for me.
Is that it? Okay. Any board reports or committee reports? All right. Discussion items.
Okay, our first discussion item is supplemental pay. As you know, we bring to you recommendations for supplemental pay each year, and or twice a year, potentially. And this year, we're asking to move the Dare to Dream group, which you have familiarity with. They've been in existence now, I think, 3 years, with Ed Hadley, and they would like to move from a group 5 to a group 4, which has to do with the amount of hours that they are with the students. Mm-hmm. And then a new club, which has been, the participation in this has been through Wildcat Workshop at Hadley over the last year, and it's a dance club and offering girls a chance to, and guys too. I don't think it's it's open only to the girls, but to give them a chance to experience dance. Mm-hmm. For some girls who may not have a chance to take dance classes outside of school. And so I think, Erica, you serve on that committee, mm-hmm. but I think these are highly recommended and would result in a total cost increase to our supplemental pay of $4,049. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Yeah. As when you have the step 1, 2, 3, 4,
mm-hmm.
What is that supposed to mean? So you've got the groups.
Yeah.
The groups is based on hours.
You're talking about the group, yeah. They're based on the number of student contact hours. So
what's the step mean?
The step then has to do with years of experience that the coach or the sponsor may have with the group.
Is that in the entire supplemental schedule, or is it just this particular?
No, it's in the whole supplemental schedule. I mean, there are differences in pay for different activities within the supplemental pay structure, but if you are within that structure for 1 year, you're at this level. If you're there more than that, then you move along that structure.
Okay.
So it's like a vertical and a horizontal movement.
But it's not tied to like the steps that we have.
No.
It's tied to
the activity.
If I've been doing this club for 3 years,
correct.
I have this much experience.
Correct.
It's definitely it's tied to that. Not
yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you know what the breakdowns of 1 through 4 are?
What do you mean in terms
step
of
step 2 meaning after 3 years or 5 years?
Lori,
it's
here for you.
So
people
who are first year club sponsoring an activity at step 1. Second year sponsoring step 2,
third
year sponsoring
step 3,
and then step 4, and then
first
step 4.
Okay. Any other questions?
I'll just add, because I know this just comes up typically once a year, but the Supplemental Pay Committee meets 3 to 4 times per year and is co-chaired by Lori Campbell and this past year Diane Fanning. Wendy Pacini will be taking over going into next year with Diane retired. And just as a part of the committee observing, I want to say what a good job they do in terms of organizing and the growth that I've seen over the last 3 years in terms of the vetting of the reports as well as the information that we seek from faculty in order to support the activity. So it's a much, I think, more robust process under Lori and Diane's leadership over the last 3 years. So when we do get these recommendations, I feel like they've been vetted quite well. It's good work. All right.
Okay, no further discussion on that item. Next item for us is the resolution approving bond record keeping procedures. And, you know, as you know from my explanation to you, this is a recent request on the part of Chapman and Cutler, Chapman and Cutler, who are our bond attorneys, and asking us to abide by certain procedures that they have outlined for us as it relates to the internal tax revenue. It's not related to us doing anything improperly or anything of that nature. It's just a caution on their part to make sure that we are very tightly compliant with IRS regulations. And so we've asked you to consider approval of this at this very meeting, this same meeting. And as you know, that's not something we typically do, but because this really is a procedure that impacts our work and something that we simply need to adapt to and adopt, it's rather perfunctory, but new for us. We've not had to do that before in terms of our bond work. We have asked that our own attorneys take a look at this and assure us that, you know, this is something that they are comfortable with. They view it as a conservative move and advise us to go ahead with it. And if there comes a point when we might make it a little less stringent, that, you know, we might look to revise it. But at this point, they approve it as well.
And this needs to be done before the end of the school year.
We're going to ask you to take action on this if you're comfortable when we come out of closed session later on.
But I mean
yes.
Having this agreement or this memorandum in place is important for the year end.
Yes, because of the leases too that we have just undertaken, and we need an attorney opinion letter on those. And so those two things are tied to our leases associated with our technology purchases.
Opinion of counsel on the leases themselves?
Do the leases.
As
that's something we do all the time.
Under the
IRS.
Tax.
Yeah.
And the tax code hasn't changed. It's just that the Chapman and Cutler has decided that
procedures have changed.
Mm-hmm. That covers us or covers them?
I think it covers them more than it covers us. But certainly it won't hurt us to have these procedures in place. But I think their impetus is for their assurances as they serve us.
Have you talked to Todd about this?
I sent this to Todd, and I spoke with him.
Okay.
And he has said, you know, without charge, he's taken a look at it and said, go ahead, approve it. It's, as I said, it's conservative. It means that we're doing a lot to make sure that we are, you know, procedurally very, very tight. But there's nothing absolutely that wouldn't be appropriate.
But what we're doing, what they're saying that we're doing is what we're actually doing.
You know, Bob, I'd have to defer to you on that. I think there are some new procedures.
The first time the technical language has been included in the opinion of counsel that they are in the final stages of preparing. So this would be for something we do on an annual basis, and we would start with the next fiscal year. It puts a little bit of an additional burden on us and the administration, especially in the finance office, in terms of our review of operating leases. But I don't feel as though it's something that will significantly increase our efforts or something down there in the finance office.
Bob, you're going to put procedures in place to make sure that if we're saying we're going to do this, mm-hmm. we're going to do it.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, in your summary, and the part that stated this is they needed this resolution, Chapman Cutler, in conjunction with issuing an opinion of counsel. So they want to move forward now from this point on, having this associated with this in order to let this mm-hmm. move forward.
So our procedures.
We have one more opinion of counsel or one more lease that's at the attorney's office now with Chapman Cutler mm-hmm. for another lease that we'll be bringing to you, and we won't have that together now until August. But the same type of thing, and I'm assuming it'll be generally the same language, mm-hmm. same type of language.
All right. Okay.
So does Chapman Cutler have billable hours associated with these things?
Well, we usually have a flat fee. I mean, we don't do a billable with them. We just get a flat fee. It's around $3,500 for getting an opinion of counsel.
For each one of these?
Each one of them.
Do we get some indemnity from it? I mean, what is the upside for us? I mean, if something's wrong with these, do they...
If something's, if something's wrong with their...
They've checked out these...
The lease?
Mm-hmm.
These leases and all this.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, something happens later on, the fact that they've checked them out.
Well, I mean, indemnify is a, you know, is a probably a big word to use for that, but certainly they would bear responsibility to some extent, as would we. I mean, we can't indemnify our own responsibilities.
So is their opinion we need to do something that adds billable hours for them, but... At the same time,
it's something that's required for us to do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So I think if the IRS came back and said, you know, these really weren't that type of lease, I don't think they would say, well, they would say, well, the IRS can interpret things differently. I don't think we'd be indemnified. We'd probably have to pay
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
A fine. We'd probably have to pay them to
right.
Correct
it.
Yeah, or we wouldn't have them argue it. We'd turn to some other counsel. But, I mean, yes, so to the extent that we trust them to give us a strong opinion and a reliable opinion, and they have for years done so.
Okay. This is a mandatory requirement?
That's
or
correct.
Is this just in case we get audited one day?
No, this is a requirement.
Mm-hmm. So we have no choice but to approve this?
We have no choice but to get an opinion of counsel.
From some.
We're recommending that we approve these procedures because they are, though, I mean, they're procedures that will, while take time, will not in any way harm us and will further protect that opinion. Okay, any other questions on that? The next item is a change order associated with the Hadley parking lot, and as you are fully aware, last Monday the Wheaton City Council rescinded their approval of an intergovernmental agreement with us that would allow us to build a bus turn pull off on Glencoe. That intergovernmental agreement has been rescinded, and therefore we do not have permission to cut into Glencoe Avenue to create that turnaround. And so we are requesting approval of a change order to the tune of $112,000for us, which is what the cost of that turnaround would have been. So $111,480, which will go, you know, to the positive side of the ledger in terms of our overall project. Disappointing turn of events for us, but it is what it is at this point, and so we need approval to make that change order, which at this point we also have to do legally because of the size of the change.
So is up for discussion at this point what else we could do, or is this, I know one of the residents had this idea of going down the back line and coming out the other side. I mean, I always felt the solution we had moving forward was not as safe as the solution we have today without that Glencoe piece.
Well, we intend to continue to use Glencoe as we have.
So you're going to drop off?
On the street. I mean, yeah. It will be the same plan. We just will be, traffic will only be able to go one way when the stop signs are down, because the buses will take up a whole lane of traffic.
Again, I don't know if this is the proper forum, but Bob attended a meeting. Do we know what the key issues?
Well, I summarized them for you in my last letter to you, that there were basically three issues. One was mildly trees. The second issue, although we've heard since then that trees were a concern, though Bob would say that they were not predominant.
They asked very good questions regarding the trees. I mean, generally, the sentiment that I took away from it is this is a Glen Ellen issue, this is a Hadley issue, don't bring your problems into me. That was my takeaway from the meeting. They originally came to us and suggested that the issue was trees. We provided them with an updated landscaping plan that provided for complete replacement of trees along Penco within the Headley property line, and that really didn't have much traction during the meeting.
So they is the Wheaton City Council, or they is the Wheaton residents who are District 41 residents are also?
Correct.
And who said this was a Glen Ellyn Hadley problem?
That's correct. That's
okay.
Correct.
And the council sort of backed that thought process also. I mean, they said, you know, this is a Hadley, this is a Glen Ellyn problem.
So trees was number one. Those trees are in Glen Ellyn or Wheaton?
They are in Wheaton.
They're on our property. They are on the Wheaton outside. They would be replaced on our property if we had
them. They're Wheaton trees, right?
Correct.
But it's Glen Ellyn's problem. Okay, trees, what was the other one?
That the traffic problem is a Hadley, a District 41 and Glen Ellyn problem.
But wasn't our solution going to be better for traffic?
Correct.
But District 41 runs all the way to Summit, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, we realize that they are part of our district.
Okay.
But they expressed, at least in the public forum, that, you know, let Glen Ellyn solve this problem. It's not a Wheaton problem.
Okay.
So in what way? That you cut into a street in Glen Ellyn, not in Wheaton? Or what? I guess I'm not understanding how...
Park them in the lot and have them come back out onto Hawthorne, I guess.
From a traffic flow problem, any changes to existing streets need to be in Glen Ellyn, not on a Wheaton street.
Well, they didn't articulate any further than that.
Okay.
So, I mean, they made that comment, and Bob inferred from their comments that that was what their feelings were.
So trees, traffic, and the third one? That was in the Thursday letter?
They said they didn't think the process, that they hadn't been communicated to about the process. And
that's fair. We only communicated 100 times. Okay, so then was there an understanding, Bob, though, that it seems to me, if I understand it, that the traffic problem will now be different than it exists today and worse than it existed today, because now we will be dropping off on that street as well as picking up on that street?
Well, about 6 weeks prior to the end of school, we moved traffic out of the Hadley parking lot because we knew it was an issue. So we have been dropping off along Glenco for 6 weeks anyways. I was asked a question during the meeting, did I feel as though this would be a marginal or a significant improvement with traffic, with the easement or the drop-off zone along Glenco, so that pull-off zone? And my comments were that it would be a significant improvement to what we face. But they decided, Alder person or council person, says his opinion, and it appeared to be the opinion of the other council members, that this would really only be a marginal improvement. And that's why, because of the comments that the residents had voiced, as well as they not seeing a significant improvement versus a marginal improvement, they voted to rescind the construction use and indemnification.
So you said something there that 6 weeks before the end of school last year, we were dropping off there anyway?
That's correct.
Because okay. I know I was there 6 weeks before the end of school, and we were still dropping off in the parking lot.
We pulled them out of it. Maybe it was 4 weeks. Maybe it was 5 weeks. I don't know. But it was during that time frame that we pulled the drop-off out of the parking lot. And to be honest with you, that's... The administration, I was over with and spoke with the principal and Matt Adam and the assistant principal, and they said, you know, it was a good move to get the traffic out of the parking lot, first of all, and it really didn't pose any additional problems having a long run go.
Yeah, okay. So, do we feel, I guess the only thing, I get the trees thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about if the residents truly understand what this means, which I would, as a resident, if I were there, I would think is a worse situation, that we'll be dropping off now as well as picking up.
Which, with no pull-off.
Yeah. So, you know, my question is, we're going to get the heat for that, right, as that becomes known as a standard thing that we're not doing. Do we send a letter to those residents, or is there any communication that we should put in effect just so it's clear that everyone understands that because we're not going in and that we're still going to proceed with the parking lot project, that our alternative solution is to drop off and pick up on the street, just so that it's clear, so that these residents understand that this is going to happen, which to me would be worse, in which case some of them may want to come back and say, well, wait a minute, that's not what we understood in our council meeting or whatever they call themselves.
We were talking about that a little bit, John, before the meeting at the end of finance, and I downloaded the meeting to listen to it, and my sense is that the six, I think it was six residents who were there, right?
There were
about six who spoke. I'm with you. I don't think there's an understanding that, you know, that the plan for removing all bus traffic will remain in place with or without the cutout. That this is it, you know, now. And
Even though Bob said it.
But I just, the last two residents that I listened to on the tape, I just, my sense was is that this was a win for the residents. In fact, there was some even language around that, I think. And so I'm not, I don't get the fact that that's understood.
I wouldn't see how they could get it, because if we were doing it the last 4 or 6 weeks.
But they may not have been paying attention either.
I mean, you just don't get that, right? So plus especially since our communication has been, you know, that it would be better. And so for the people that didn't attend the meeting, for the people that didn't listen to the recording, for the people that...
I'm with you.
Right.
Well, we did send a letter to the neighbor, the same group of people mm-hmm. that we had, the 250 feet within the school. We sent a letter, attached the letter that we received from the mayor to that letter. Bob, the letter we sent to the mayor, that's correct. Did we include in there that we would continue to be parking along Glencoe? I can't remember. I think we did.
Yeah. Well, it'd be nice to know that we did do that, and that it's clear, so that, you know, I'd hate for these, for residents to come to us in September and say, gee, you know, if we had known this, we would have said, yeah, it makes sense to put it in, and then, you know, but.
Well, and we did say to Mr. Miller, who came to our meeting, with whom we had further conversations after that board meeting that he came to, that we would continue to park on, you know, regardless of what the situation was. Now, his main concern were the trees.
Yeah, he was focused on the trees,
right.
which I get that.
Right, right, and we would replace those.
Do the Wheaton City Council members serve at large, or are they in certain precincts?
Precinct.
Is this person also Drew and
therapist?
He is. Council. Did he talk to you at all?
Well, he reached out to me 3 weeks ago to get some more information, but also in part because we have more personal history with being from the same church, too. So, and he said, I'm calling you in part because of your role with the board, but also because we know each other. Can you walk me through this? And, you know, made it clear that his preference, at least via the phone call with me, was that the board left things the way they were. He used that language a couple times. And that was the language that he used again that night a couple of times in the meeting transcript, too. You know, it's disappointing. It's not. I think there's a lack of understanding and a little bit of brainstorming that went on the Wheaton City Council's part about, well, could you do this? Could you do this? And to Bob's credit, he was very appropriate but also directive in terms of saying, the project has begun. This is what we're doing. You know, well, certainly the intention is to work with the residents, you know, to your point, John, communicate well with them, be in partnership. My email to Phil and copying Mayor Gresk, you know, reiterated that as well. That's certainly a conversation to make sure that people understand the process and it's safe, et cetera. But the intention was to separate the traffic, and that's what we'll be doing.
The fact that the cutout's not being done this summer doesn't preclude it from being done in a future summer if minds change on it.
Well,
I mean,
at a
it's
cost.
Somewhat of a separate thing. It could cost more because the company's not out there doing the other work, but
right.
It's the work being done doesn't somehow preclude it from happening in the future. It's really...
It does not.
Okay.
Right. But we might ask for a, you know, shared participation.
Well, I understand that. If the buses are parked on the street, can Wheaton in the future somehow restrict that?
Well, it is in the back of our heads. I mean, it is a worry that we have, but we would hope not, considering that, you know, we have in fact been parking buses in the afternoon there for several years. So that is not new to the neighborhood, as Bob said, we began to explore, you know, practice doing it in the morning. Mm-hmm. And
well, and the sign does says no parking except buses. I think it's 8 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
So it is zoned by ordinance, at least if it's an ordinance, but it is signed that way currently.
Okay, so will you just check that we did send something to the residents?
We did.
No, that...
Oh, that it included that?
That just so they understand,
sure.
Morning and evening.
Do you have a copy? We did.
Okay.
Okay.
And then going in another direction, the indemnification agreement that we agreed to this, they signed something. Not being an attorney, it would seem to me that our attorney would have made it in such a way that since we were relying on a project and we were starting work, that they would have somehow had some language in there that says if they decide to rescind this indemnification agreement for, you know, with us, that they could not do so as it pertains to this project because we were counting on it, or we started it, or we spent money on it, or... Did we not have any language like that at all?
We had an opportunity to back out of the agreement. Each side had an opportunity to back out of the agreement.
At will?
It's a 90-day notice. And they invoked on the 18th their 90-day notice to us. So
I mean,
we could move forward with the project within the 90 days because it isn't up, but we wouldn't do that. But item 7 says... You know, both parties with 90-day written notice can, you know.
And so, did this indemnification agreement only restricted to this project?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is it a standard?
Yes. And the board had a chance to go back and revisit any of its actions. If, as you know, as a board member brings a decision back to be reconsidered, it can be reconsidered and action can be taken.
Mm-hmm. What they did was they called the communication. Phil Cease requested be put under new business. It was under new business. They called the communication, had the testimony, Bob spoke, and then they then made a motion to bring it back for discussion.
Yeah. I'm just trying to understand this better. Why would we put an agreement, maybe the two attorneys here can help us, but why would we put an agreement forward where people could back out of it in the middle of a project? I mean, why? You know, it would seem to me that...
In hindsight, we probably shouldn't have, but...
But that's not our... That shouldn't be your hindsight or us hindsight. Our attorney should be saying... I mean, our attorney would look at this and say, you know, you realize you could be 99% done with this project and they can pull the plug.
If we had started the project, I believe, if we had started that C1 alternate, I believe the language states that cancellation of either party, or particularly by the village, if we had already begun that work, the work to restore it would be on the city of Wheaton's responsibility then.
Mm-hmm.
Once the project was started, if they called me 2 weeks ago, because I'll be honest with you, we were ready to start cutting down trees like on a Thursday morning.
Mm-hmm.
They called me Wednesday afternoon and asked me to please stop because there was concern from residents and from the from our council. So that's when I told the contractor, let's just slow down the process to see what happens next before I'm here before the council.
Yeah.
Monday evening, and that's when I did that.
You know, I guess I'm either questioning, you know, our ability to understand what an indemnification agreement means for the administration, or our attorney's ability to advise us that, I mean, basically what you just told me is 2 years from now, the city of Wheaton could have said, you know what, we don't like this anymore, and we're going to restore it.
There's a separate clause that lists that.
Yeah.
That's
so I just sort of challenging our attorneys as to how we would, we're looking for a long-term solution. Part of the feedback I'd like to see, and you guys are lawyers, you tell me if it's appropriate or not, but the attorneys, in my mind, kind of put us a little bit in this situation with putting a document forward that could be changed the day before you go live.
Bob, is this the city of Wheaton standard practice?
This
indemnification?
This was Wheaton's agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And the attorneys did review it. They said, Bob, they made me aware of what could occur, and we had a signed agreement, and I never thought that the city would actually vote on this because we didn't hear You know, this has been a pretty quiet conversation throughout. We invited community members to join us to talk about developing the project. We really didn't get a lot of input from it. We didn't get any, very little input from the community, so we just thought it was going to just go through nice and smoothly. The administration with the city put it on our consent agenda. It sailed through. I attended that meeting to answer any questions. No one had any questions. And then the problem really didn't come into knowing until we had the meeting with the residents in that area back in, I guess, May. And that's when the issues came to the surface.
Your point is well taken, Jen, in terms of future construction projects and entering into an agreement with the village or a city, not being very cautious about those indemnification agreements or clauses in a contract.
I would agree that it's a very good lesson learned. We could have easily been in the economical, and we could have actually started some construction, and even though we can tear it out at their expense, it doesn't get money back to us after we started.
Well, they can restore it, but we would have already expended.
Exactly right. So I think we kind of dodged a bullet on this one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of my biggest questions, and I blame myself, really. If this was a standard agreement, is this what every indemnification agreement looks like? I mean, we don't. It seemed a little loose.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, it was because they.
Well, they could go back and rescind it.
Exactly.
And that may be the reason that the city of Wheaton created this. Was called a construction use and indemnification agreement versus how we typically do business with the village of Glen Ellyn. We have an intergovernmental agreement, which I think has some title language around it. And this issue really hasn't arisen previously with Glen Ellyn, and to be honest with you, we didn't think it was going to be an issue with Wheaton.
And just to add another voice to the piece of this, I think before we account for all responsibility, my concern is with the, and again, because I listened to the tape, I have a little bit different view of this, but the way the conversation went, the kind of questions they asked Bob, the disinterest in letting Bob walk through the timeline, they just wanted to ask him questions. I mean, I was disappointed in the council's desire to hear our side, to be honest with you. They were about listening to their residents. They had heard, evidently from them, by phone and email, et cetera, a lot of information, and they realized that they had approved something on the consent agenda that had more issue with it. But I did not feel like the issue of safety and how this had been vetted and the length of time and planning that went into this was heard. I'll just leave it at that.
Well, and the city of Wheaton was involved in all of the discussions.
Right. They're not without accountability.
We started with the city of Wheaton and Glen Ellyn in the initial conversations in August or September of last year. So they had this. And significant working knowledge of what was occurring on the site.
And we're supportive.
Yeah. And I respect that we want to listen, that there's a need to listen to residents. Certainly we are strong advocates of that and participants in that. That's our philosophy and practice. The lack of, I would say, some balance in that conversation to me was evident.
They definitely should listen to the residents and the opinion. We should be able to present something. So are you guys telling me legally we could just move ahead with this project?
That legally we could?
Legally, with this whole 90-day thing, we could move forward.
We could, and then they would pursue it and sue us probably. And
then we could. I question whether we could sue them for backing out and invoking the 90-day clause. I mean, arguably, we started the project. I mean, technically speaking, we broke ground in our parking lot and we started our project, which encompassed this lane. So, I guess the question is, how far do we want to push it?
We could sue them to restore our parking lot back to the way it was.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm not. I mean, John and I.
With water running off.
Well, you know what, though? I mean, we don't want to go backwards.
No, I mean, you guys don't want to do it? Fine. You revoke the clause, restore everything back the way it was. It was safer, and it was less congestion on the street. You know, take...
I mean, truthfully, this project, for me, was about this parking lane. You know, we could have gotten by. This is a lot of money that we're expending on this project, and a lot of it had to do, for me, about the safety of the kids and moving the kids off the street and the bus lane. And I truly...
Getting them out of the
parking lot. And now we're right where we started, just with a nicer parking lot and some water retention and some niceties to it. But frankly, in my opinion, this project for me was about this lane and moving the buses and doing what we're doing. So...
Have them restore our parking lot, and it'll last another 10 years.
I really feel that what the village, I respect that they feel they need to listen to residents, but I also feel that we are their neighbor and we are part of them as well, and their behavior and what they did really impacts our children, and it's unacceptable to me, and I think that their behavior and the way they handled it in some respects is unconscionable to me.
Well, we can certainly pursue with legal counsel advice in terms of if we wanted to continue moving forward with this, what would be the implications of that?
I would ask that.
I would do it both ways.
Yeah.
What's the implication of moving forward? And then on the other one, what's our alternative to sue them to say restore our parking lot?
I think because that was an alternate bid, it's viewed as a separate piece of the construction. It might not be viewed that we didn't do C1. We hadn't started C1. So the parking lot...
Well, let's get the opinion.
Sure.
I mean, if we get a brand new parking lot out of this and not cut down any trees and go back to the old way, that was good by me. I was okay with that.
Well, and I think the lesson, you know, shame on us for not pushing the indemnification. I mean, I look at contracts all the time, and a lot of it's just boilerplate language that we all have to agree to, because if we don't, the other side is backing out, and we don't foresee an issue, so we just go with it. Clearly, we've learned a valuable lesson in that. But
if they back out there, then it means, you know, they're not in.
They're not in.
We should move forward.
Well, and I just, you know, again, the other lesson for me is we have two board members who are also residents and part of their constituency, and they chose not to listen to them. So we have I would urge people, once again, when you're in support of it, don't just speak up when you're against something. Speak up when you're in support of, because perhaps if more of the residents who were supportive of this project had stepped up to the plate and made their voices heard, we wouldn't be in this, because it really does seem like a very small number of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you had a petition signed by about 31 people representing about 15 households.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine. I mean, I've been in that situation. Mm-hmm. That's fine, you know. And we should definitely hear them out and try to make it
Absolutely. The best
that we possibly can. But I'm not happy with this. So I'd like to know what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to understand if starting the project included the parking lot. And if they have to restore things back, then albeit have them do it.
I'm not
on board with going backwards. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
That's backwards.
What I'm hearing you say is
go. Our goal ultimately was we needed a parking lot that we felt was crumbling that needed to be fixed.
And
that was
still
our ultimate goal. Now,
right.
There were some benefits in terms of water retention, but that was not a goal.
No. Safety, I understand that. Repairing the parking lot and safety of students was really the primary.
But we've added some other pieces to this by covering up the above ground detention and including special ed bus lanes. I mean, there are other pieces to that, you know, new lot.
I'm just saying, from my perspective, I do not see that as an ultimate goal. Mm-hmm.
I think that that's
if legal important. Counsel came back and said, yes, they have to restore your parking lot, and we get a new parking lot out of it, and go back to our old model, to me that would be one. Because that was the ultimate. To me, that would not be going backwards.
Okay, well, we will we'll give our council a call to see what
possibly could be done in response to this, and whether or not they have any liability to our current construction worker.
Well, and I just one last point, that we, this was not, you know, the accusations are often thrown at us that, you know, this was a fly by the seat of your pants project.
Yeah,
and this project was vetted over such a long period of time that I'm, again, you know,
one of the longest periods.
Right, and to at the, you know, after the start date, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's, to me, the more or less cavalier attitude, like, you know, there's no consequences to pulling this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, in the tape, was there any discussion of
there was
pros
one,
and cons?
Well, there was
and,
one
what
council
is the effect
member.
On
yeah, no, there was one council member.
On the other party here.
Yeah, Councilman Rutledge, who did acknowledge some discomfort, I guess, the way he put it, that, you know, this, the district has already started the project, you know, we're coming in and we're changing things, and so he did acknowledge that, which then, you know, created some acknowledgement around doing more due diligence around their consent agenda, et cetera, by the mayor and by Councilman Cease. But it was a 6-0 vote with one council member out that evening, so they all, you know, move forward. So, some acknowledgement. Well, I'm still waiting to back to hear from Phil Cease, Councilman Cease. So, if I don't hear from Thursday, then I'll call.
Well, and being a good neighbor is a two-way street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clearly, they were not our good neighbor in this situation.
So, what's our? I mean, this has been out there for a while, I guess. We haven't really moved forward in any way. What's our drop-dead date in terms of, let's say they came back next week and said, you know what, after seeing this, after talking to residents, we do think this was a better solution. We like what you're doing with the trees, and we're okay with it.
They'd have to,
that date?
They'd have to, well, they'd have to go back and approve the resolution all over again.
Right, so what's our drop-dead date where if they
For construction?
Yeah. Where, you know, if they don't do that by June 24th, you can't do it anyway this year, or...
I don't know.
Well, I don't know that I would put a date on it. Once they start...
There has to be a date. If they said September 30th, then obviously mm-hmm. they don't think.
Well, what I'm referring to, though, from a contractor perspective, if he started to pull his equipment out of there, then I would say, you know, there may be some added cost to the project. I don't anticipate
the
change.
If the question, though, is if they change their mind and now they like the project and they think it's a good idea that we go forward, what would be our drop-dead date to be able to have that accomplished by the start of school?
Probably be the middle of July.
Okay. Anything else on that? We will ask you to take action on that if you're comfortable after closed session. And that's it for discussion items.
Okay. Thank you. Upcoming meetings. August 13th, we are off for the month of July, so get some rest, and but don't go too far away from board stuff. Got lots going on. But our upcoming meetings are August 13th, 2012. We have a public hearing on the 2012-2013 tentative budget and regular board meeting. The hearing will take place at 7:15 p.m. at the Central Services Office, and then the board meeting will start right after that. August 27th, 2012, regular board meeting at 7:30 at the Central Services Office.
And as I mentioned to board members earlier, if you have not responded to my invitation to the Saturday morning, July 21st meeting from 8 till noon, please do so through your Outlook invitation.
Thank you, Ann. Are there any other matters to be considered by the board? All right, public participation. Is there anyone present who would like to address the board at this time? Thank you. Thanks for coming. Adjourn to closed session. The board has determined it has a need to adjourn to closed session to discuss the following matters: collective negotiating matters between the district and its employees or their representatives, or deliberations concerning salary schedules for one or more classes of employees, the purchase or lease of real property for the use of the district, including meetings held for the purpose of discussing whether a particular parcel should be acquired, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. May I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Bondra?
Yes.
Mrs. Howard?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes. The board will be taking action when it returns from closed session. Okay, return to open session at 9:31 p.m. on June 25th, 2012 at the Central Services Office. We have several actions to take action on. The first one is employment. The approval of principal's performance-based increase, the administration is recommending an additional 3% salary for Dr. Dranzoff's contract for fiscal year 2012-2013 as discussed in closed session. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Moved.
Second.
Okay. Discussion? All right. Roll call, please, Tara.
Howard. Yes. Black.
Yes.
Ellis.
Yes.
Kenwood.
Yes.
Andre.
Yes.
Nelson.
Yes. Item 2, grievance number 2011-12-37986. The administration is recommending adoption of the grievance resolution regarding grievance as stated by number as discussed in closed session. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Black.
Yes.
Ellis.
Yes.
Kenwood.
Yes.
Andrak.
Yes.
Howard. Yes. Nelson.
Yes. Resolution approving bond recording procedures. The administration is recommending that the board approve the resolution of bond record-keeping procedures for District 41 as presented in closed session. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Ellis.
Yes.
Kenwood.
Yes.
Andrak.
Yes.
Howard. Yes. Black.
Yes.
Nelson.
Yes. The resolution approving the change order for Hadley Parking Lot and Stormwater Project. The administration is recommending that the board adopt the resolution approving the change order, eliminating the C1 alternate from the contract with Earthworks in the amount of $111,480. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second. Any discussion? Roll call.
I'm sorry. And if we don't pass this?
Well, then the money at this point, at some point, you'd have to recognize that we are paying less for this project. So it's a change order to our benefit. But there's nothing. If you didn't approve it right now, there's no immediate ramification. The agreement really is to communicate to Earthworks.
Okay. Well, to that point, do we want to take action now? I thought we
pursue the other pieces.
Yeah.
You could choose to table this.
No, I would think that. I mean, if we want to pursue the other option of getting a legal opinion, then I think that's the way to go. Because we don't have to.
Then we're not making a commitment to Earthworks in any manner at this point on that matter.
Would Bob have an opinion about that in terms of the contract or record keeping or?
No, the length. I mean, we'd have to make sure we do a change order before the project is completed.
Mm-hmm.
So probably July 21, since the project could potentially be completed by early August before we have our second board meeting, we'd want to approve. But there'll be some costs that we have not expended until we are certain that the project is completed to our satisfaction. So, I mean, I don't think there's a rush to do this if you don't feel comfortable and you want us to pursue other avenues.
Well, we are a firm doing this now.
We're
a firm that's planning on doing this, or do they know?
Yeah. Earthworks, or yeah. Our contract?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They know.
But they're in the know that this may not happen. By not doing this, we're not putting them in a bad position.
Well, they are aware that C1 is off the table. So they are aware that in light of that, they're not going to make as much money as they would that they originally did.
Right, but is there anything in the contract with Earthworks that might have a date involved where payment is... I'm just trying to think...
Right,
I can't answer that question.
Yeah. You know, so if we go ahead and move on this.
The change orders occur in most construction projects.
All along the way. So I'm just wanting to
make sure that.
Yeah, put on my black hat and think, so what's the ramification of not doing this? Could they say, well, you didn't hit the, June 30th mark, and so we're due 50% of that because we've hired people, they're on contract, whatever.
You can vote on this. And we pursue the legal piece, and we bring back to you a change order, July 21, for the additional cost of $114,000 to reinstate C1. I mean, so you could probably. This does not prohibit you from doing another change order in the positive.
Yeah, it's just a procedure to clean it up, X and O, and then we move forward with whatever happens. And then if it changes again, we X and O.
Less than efficient, but
it is less efficient. But depending on what's going to happen.
I just personally, I think I'm just kind of, I'm still wrapping my mind around this insanity, and I
hoping to wake up from a bad dream.
Yes, because I think this is crazy, and I don't want us to make a knee-jerk reaction to, and it may seem very simple. Oh, it's just a change order. It's not that big of a deal. But I just, maybe theoretically, I feel like I'm throwing in the towel and I'm not ready to throw in the towel.
Okay. Are other board members in favor of tabling this motion?
I just want to make, you are, Sam? Yeah. I just want to make sure that we're not getting in the way of a process that needs to be clean, done, and then we move on even with this other option. I mean, this is here for a reason tonight, and I just want to make sure that we're not.
I would prefer tabling it, but I agree with Erica. So, Anne, you have to tell us, do you need this for any purpose?
I do not think this is an emergency.
Okay.
So I'd be willing to find out.
I'll go with what the board wants to do.
Okay. So then we have a motion on the table to approve, but we need to introduce another motion to table.
I motion to table the. Motion to approve.
Yeah.
Okay. Any discussion with regard to that?
You can do a voice vote on it.
Okay. Let's take a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, actually, you can't. I'm sorry. No, you know why? Because it involves money.
That's right. It involves money.
Sam would
take that back.
What are we voting on?
To table the motion.
To table the motion. Yes. Sam's motion.
Vondrak?
Yes, table the motion.
Howard? Yes, table the motion. Black?
Yes.
Ellis?
Yes.
Nelson?
Yes.
Motion table.
Thank you. Appointment of interim principal and leave reassignment agreement. The administration is recommending the appointment of Linda Schweikhofer as interim principal of Abraham Lincoln School for the 2012-2013 school year with a salary of $120,000 as discussed in closed session. May I have a motion to approve this recommendation as presented?
Motion.
Second.
Any discussion?
Is that her current salary?
No. It's a salary commensurate with a 12-month principal.
Given her experience and whatever.
Well, her experience would probably place her higher than that on the salary schedule, but we put her at the same level as our two of our other principals.
Any other questions?
Well, so after this year, then she would go
back. She would go back. It's a difference between a 12-month and a 10-plus-month position as well.
Thank you, Sam. Anything else? All right. Roll call, please.
Kenwood.
Yes.
Vondrak.
Yes.
Howard. Yes. Black.
Yes.
Ellis.
Yes.
Nelson.
Yes. All right, may I have a motion to adjourn the June 25th, 2012 regular meeting? Thank you, John. Second to Sam. Voice vote all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?